I welcome all you brothers and sisters, friends in Christ. I'm glad that you are all fed. Hopefully you are still spiritually hungry to accept the word of God that we are about to meditate upon. Our topic today, as you all know, it's called Life in God. The branch that I'm going to take in this topic is called Life on the Vine. A little ironic, but we're going to talk about how Jesus expresses himself as being the vine and his Father the vine bearer. And we're going to talk about how we as branches can be either productive branches, fruit-bearing branches, or we can be unproductive branches or non-fruit-bearing branches. Can I get the next slide, please? So the topics that we are going to talk about, as I said, who is the true vine? Who is the groundskeeper? Who are the branches, fruit-bearing and non-fruit-bearing? How to bring forth fruit that is pleasing to the groundskeeper? What are the fruits that the Father is awaiting from the fruit-bearing branches? So we're going to begin by reading John chapter 15. We're going to read the first 11 verses. And then we're going to start going in one verse at a time just to see what the Spirit has to offer us through this text. What the Spirit of God wants to teach us. What is the true life in God or in Christ? We're going to begin reading verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. So the first question is, what is a vine? What are branches? What illustration is Jesus trying to make at this point? So if you see the picture up on the slide, you see that there is a vine. The vine is the source of water, the source of life that is coming in from the ground. The vine is connected to the roots, and the roots are what absorbs this water and nutrients from the soil and delivers it to the branches. Now again, we see many branches. We see thicker branches. We see thinner branches, the bigger branches, the smaller branches. Every branch that comes from the vine, either big or small, it's still considered a branch. And all those branches are either considered fruit-bearing or not fruit-bearing, productive or not productive. The true vine. Jesus starts off talking to his disciples. Again, if we get the setting of this conversation. We are during the Last Supper, the night when Jesus was betrayed. They come into a room and they gather. They lay down, getting ready for the Passover. And Jesus presents them with all the truth that he was storing up for them. He was preparing for them the whole journey that they were with him, these 3 years. And finally, he begins, and he says, I am the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Now, what does this mean? We see that Jesus, in his deity, was in existence before the foundation of the world. When he says, I am the vine, it means I am the life. I am he who gives nutrients, who gives water, who gives life to you, the branches, to his disciples, who are the big branches who begin the foundation of the church. They are the ones who are going to start having other branches spread from them, and here's the church. Here's the beginning of it. Jesus is the source of life and the knowledge to the church. Then, next idea is, Jesus is the only way to the Father, and so is the true vine. Interesting enough, he says, I am the true vine, and later on he just says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Why is he pointing that out? Why is he saying, I am the true vine? Because Jesus says to Thomas, when Thomas says, well, how can we know, Lord, where you are going if we do not know the way? How can we follow you? And Jesus said to Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And also we see in the next slide, Jesus says, I am. Every time Jesus says, I am, the word ego is in front of who we must give an account to. So we are going to stand not having anything to hide. Christ is not going to ask you, did you really, truly, sincerely go to church? Did you really, truly, sincerely praise me when you sang those songs of worship to me? Did you truly want to pray to me when you came to prayer nights, to youth nights? Did you truly want to serve me? He won't ask that because it will just be evident. It will be on your faces. You will have nothing to hide. Why? Because the word of God pierces between your falsification of your face and the truth that is hidden inside your heart. There is nothing to hide. Continuing on, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Abide. Abide is just a word that means remain. Be in the constant state of. Don't leave. Stay because it is useful. So he says to them, abide in me. If you stay in me, if you remain in me or connected to me as a branch, then I will stay connected to you. I mean, it's a little obvious, if you stay connected to something, it will stay connected to you. But he just points out that fact that if you abide in me, I will abide in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. We talked about what the vine is. We talked about what the life-sustaining power that the vine has. It gives life to the branch. And so Jesus just brings out that same point, saying that you will not be able to produce fruit, you will not be able to please the Father unless you abide or remain or stay in the constant state of in me. Not call yourself by my name. Not just hiding your identity, your true identity of being a child of God. It's about abiding in Christ. Or, you know, the term we hear people say, Jesus freak. Like, he is all about Jesus. Paul says, I have lost my mind because of Christ. Why? Because this is uncomprehendable truth that is written here in the scripture. He says, abide in me. Stay, remain, stay in the constant state of in me, and I will be in you. We heard this morning from Andre, he says, and if you fulfill my commands, I will come with my Father and I will make an abode with you. That is the same word. I will abide with you. I will make a feast with you. and he will remain with you, with his Father. And then continuing, abide part two. I am the vine, you are the branches. Just in case you forget, remember, Jesus repeats himself. I am the vine. As soon as the Hebrews or the Israelites hear this term, they know I am the sustainer of life. You are the branches. In other words, you cannot survive without me. Without me, you can do nothing. If you think you can do something, if you think you can start a church without me, go ahead, try, because you will wither away and you will die. If you think you can bring forth fruit that is pleasing to the Father without me, go ahead, you can try, but you will wither away and die. And when you all wither away and die, I will gather you up, and the Father will throw you into the fire. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, again, it's a cohesion. It's a cleavage. It's one body to another being together, inseparable. He said, abide in me, whoever abides in me and I in him, it is he or he it is that bears much fruit. So whoever remains in me, if you make your life incorporated with my life, Jesus says, then only then you will bear much fruit. But if you don't, contrary, you will bear no fruit. And we have read what happens to those branches that don't bear fruit. For apart from me, for without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away like a branch and withers. In other words, if you do not abide in me, again, we look higher up, you cannot produce fruit, so you are thrown away and you wither. And the branches gathered together, thrown into the fire, and burnt. So what does this mean? We can only produce much fruit when we remain in the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. The only time that you can produce fruit if you remain in the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Meditate on yourselves and on the word, he says, look on yourself and on the word, meditate on them day and night, fulfilling all that is in the scriptures, and doing so you will save yourself and you will save those who hear you. We see the word and the power it has. We read in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, we read the power of the word. We read how it pierces through the soul and the spirit, pierces through even the joints and marrow, like through the bones, actually. And it brings out the intentions of the heart. It just shows whatever is on the inside. So if we do not remain in him or his teachings, we can do nothing. In Greek, this word nothing means no thing, not one. It just means nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. That was a little pun to add the Greek in there because it means the same thing as the English or the Russian. You can do nothing, not one thing you will be able to do that will please the Father in the day of judgment. You will have nothing to present before him. And so you will be like that withered branch that will be cast out and thrown into the fire and burned. If we do nothing, we are like the unproductive branches that are cut off and thrown into the fire, hell, after withering, which is the loss of life. The Greek literal here is consumed by fire. Those branches that get a loss of life, because again, the sustainer of life or the fountain of life or the source of life is the vine, is Jesus. And if you are not connected to the branch or to the vine itself, you are barren. You have no life. You are dead. And you will not be able to produce any fruit because dead branches do not produce fruit. And so life in God, as the topic says, is life in God. It's living on the vine. It's being connected to the vine. It's grabbing a source of life from the giver of life, which is Christ Jesus. He said, but if you do not bring life, if you are not connected to the vine, you are cut off and consumed by fire, which is the eternal fire of hell. You will be consumed. And if that does not put fear into your heart to start changing and start connecting to the vine and bearing fruit that is pleasing to the Lord, then you have a problem. Because you should have fear before the Almighty God to stand before him in the day of account with empty hands and say, Lord, but what was I supposed to do for you? What do you mean? Did you read my word? Well, no, I didn't have time. I had to study for my exams because I need, you know, a good education. Wait. Did you read my word? No, Lord, but I had to work. I have to make money. I have to support my family. I have to, you know, live a life that, you know, I could have family. I could have children. You know, Lord, I'm worried about that. Wait. Did you read my word? You have no fruit. You have nothing that is pleasing to me. And so we will hear those words that we hear and we read in Matthew chapter 7. And many will say to him in that day, Lord, Lord, was it not in your name that we prophesied? Was it not in your name that we cast out demons? Lord, was it not in your name that we performed many miracles? And I will turn to them in that day and say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I have never knew you not. Go into the eternal damnation, eternal hellfire. Those words will be said to all those branches that do not bear fruit. Those words will be said to all those who do not please the Father, but please their own selves. And so to please the Father, you must mortify your flesh. You must give up your own lives and serve the Father in all your beings. Love him with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your soul, with all your mind. That is your whole being, and at the same time, love your brother as your neighbor as yourself. The one commandment that is split into two parts, A and B. If you do not do that, you will hear those words. You will be cut off as a non-bearing fruit. If you serve yourself and you serve your own desires, your own ambitions, Paul says, I have crucified myself, and so I have crucified my ambitions with Christ. My passions with Christ, I have crucified with him because I know that he is the sustainer of life and there is no other way that I can gain eternal life except through him. And so we continue. Verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Why does Jesus say this? Why is he saying that even though many Christians pray like this? Why is he announcing this in this order, even though many of us, the only thing we can say in our prayers when we come home at night is, Lord, give me, give me, give me. We think that God is just a vending machine where we can just put in a quarter, which is called prayer, and receive something that is profitable for our own lives. Why do we pray like that? Because we have a claim of self-importance. But here he says, if you abide in me, if you continue in me and my words will abide in you. So before Jesus says, if you abide in me, I will abide in you. He says it twice. If you abide in me, I will abide in you. And then the third time, we're expecting him to say, if you abide in me, we're expecting the next phrase to say, I will abide in you. And what is the next phrase says? My words will abide in you. My words, which is power. We read about the power of the word of God. My words will be in you. And so when you walk around in this God-forsaken world, this world full of envy, lust, the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, when it's full of pornography, murder, and violence, you're going to walk around in this world and you're going to have the word of God abide in you, giving you peace, giving you joy, giving you love. And so, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. You know why he says this? Because if you abide in the Word of God, if you let the Word of God abide in you, then whenever you ask or come before prayer, before the Almighty, before the Sustainer of life, you will not dare to ask for your own pleasures and your own desires. You will not have the courage to ask Him to fulfill your selfish, carnal desires. But you will be in the full reverence before the Almighty God and asking for the glory and for the edification of His church, for the building up of His church, of His saints, for the preparation of His workers for the ministry. And that is a true prayer. And so He gives him that acknowledgement. And whatever you ask, or ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. What is the point? What is the point of all this? What is the point of the first 7 verses that we read? By this my Father is glorified, he says, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father had loved me, so I loved you. Abide in my love. What is the point of life? We had a question during our discussions. What is the point of existence? What is the point of being? What is the point of you having the ability to take another breath? Why are you sitting here today or watching online and have the ability to breathe in oxygen, carbon dioxide, nitrogen, and having your body decipher all those atoms to use it all for the you so you can stay alive, so you can have another heartbeat, so your blood can cleanse your body, so your nervous system can be retained or rejuvenated? Why? By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. The word disciples, a learner, a student. And so the first Christians were not called Christians, they were called disciples. And if we call ourselves Christians, in other words, we're calling ourselves disciples. And if we call ourselves disciples and not abide in his word, and we do not bear much fruit, we are not proven to him that we are disciples, and so we are liars, and we make him a liar. We lie to ourselves, we lie to people, we're liars, we're sinful. We're fleshly motivated people. And so if you do not bear fruit and you call yourself a Christian, you are a liar, please stop, because the Lord will ask you in the day of judgment, why did you call yourself a Christian if you do not bear fruit that is pleasing to me? And so the whole being, the whole existence of mankind was for a reason, and the reason was to prepare the church or the bride of Christ. And so an interesting idea that was presented by Alexei Kolomeitsev, he presented this idea which is still imprinted and embedded in my mind. He says, before the world began, it was just God in his Trinity. After the world will end, after the apocalypse, it will be God and the bride. So the whole little dash between the beginning and the end is just so God can present himself a bride that is clean, without blemish, and without fault. That is pleasing to him. We do not choose wives that are not pleasing to us. We do not choose brides that are nagging, that don't listen to us and don't care about our opinion. We do not choose brides that don't care for taking care of us. No, we choose brides that actually please us in the sense of obedience, in the sense of love, in the sense of bringing forth fruit that is pleasing to our Father. And so we continue. We see true love and true joy being presented by Jesus. He says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. We also talked about in our group that love is not a feeling. Love is not an emotion that we just spark up when we, you know, like see a girl that we like, or we see someone that, you know, talks good about us. Love is not a spark. It is a state of life. He said, if you keep my commandments, you will abide, you will constantly be in a state of, or you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. He brings us an example, a complete divine example. He says, I have given my being, I have abided in my Father's commandments. Every time they asked him, what are you doing? He said, I came to fulfill the will of my Father. I came to fulfill the will of my Father. Jesus, what are you doing? I came to fulfill the will of my Father, to seek and find those who are lost. I came to gather the sheep that are lost. Came to fulfill the will of my Father. We see that in the prayer we read earlier. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So the only way to abide in love or be in a constant state of love, to have that natural love of God, is to keep the commandments of God, is to keep his commandments. If you do not keep his commandments, you will never find an eternal love or a true love or a true joy. He says, these things, or the reason that I have spoken to you all this, the reason I showed you the illustration of the vine and the branches is this, that you, or that my joy, which is the joy of God, may be in you, and that your joy may be full. That's it. Today we seek love and joy. What does this mean? So we see, if we keep the commandments of our Lord Jesus Christ, only then can we remain or acquire his love. If we love, or if we follow this formula of living on the vine, then the joy of Christ will be in us and its full potential, or the full potential of the joy of Christ. Also, life in Jesus brings an eternal satisfaction in his love and joy. Love and joy is the drive for every human on this earth. Anything that we do, Christian or non-Christian, fruit-bearing or non-fruit, every single thing that a human does on this earth, whether it's eat, go to school, go to work, build himself a house, a whole career, an empire, gaining money, financial stability. The reason we do it is to gain love and joy. So for some people, money brings joy. Money brings love. A man on TV a while back, or it was actually on a YouTube clip, he says, money can't buy happiness. And the entrepreneur who's sitting there, who's listening to him, he's like, no. My money brings me happiness. My money is the only thing that keeps me going every day. So we see a driving force. But the thing is, it all comes down to one point. We all search for a joy in our lives, an ever-ending joy. Some people try to seek it in alcohol, a joy, and yet it's not there. It's momentarily there, but then it fades away. Some people seek it in drugs, and yet they get that moment of joy, and yet it fades, and they feel worse than they did before. Some people get it with seeking joy at work, and yet they get it, and it fades away. But if you want my joy, Jesus says, then do these things that I have spoken unto you. And so, the love and joy, the true love of Christ, comes from fulfilling his commandments. And the true joy of Christ comes from fulfilling his commandments, acquiring his love, and living the life that is pleasing to him. So in summary, Jesus is the true vine. His Father, the vine dresser, and we are the branches. There is no other way to please the Father except for abiding in Jesus, which is keeping his commandments. If we keep his commandments, we will produce fruit and be pleasing to the Father. If we do not keep his commandments, we will be cut off and consumed by fire. Eternal love is gained by keeping and fulfilling the word of God. Eternal love is gained by keeping and fulfilling the word of God. Eternal joy is gained by following the process of acquiring eternal love. I just want to repeat myself in that eternal love is gained by keeping and fulfilling the word of God, or in God, or in other words, abiding in the vine. And eternal joy is the outcome of acquiring eternal love, which is eternal joy is gained by following the process of acquiring eternal love. So, I have a question for you. It's a very legitimate question, which is, I think all of you should answer. Not to me, because it is a rhetorical question. And so the next slide, we see, who are you? Not a really theological question, not something, you know, you have to think about for a very long time. It is a simple question that we all should ask ourselves, including me, which I was asking myself for a very long time, and I still ask myself every day. Who am I? Are you a branch that is connected to the vine? Or are you a branch that is connected to Christ Jesus? Are you a member of his church? What is the purpose of your existence here on earth? Is it for your own desires, for your own ambitions, to have a good job, to have a good career, to have a good sustaining family, to have a good home, a nice car? What is the purpose of your existence here on earth? Is your life devoted to the same goal as Jesus had, which was to please the Father by fulfilling his will? Have you the eternal love of Christ abiding in your heart? Have you, the eternal love of God or love of Christ abiding in my heart? Is the full joy of Jesus Christ our Lord characterized in your life? Do you see it? Or is there something empty there? When you look into your heart, into the room that says joy on there, do you see joy in there, or is it an empty room that is awaiting your Savior, Jesus Christ? Have you the full assurance that the Father will be pleased with your productive life on the day of judgment? Have you the full assurance that the Father will be pleased by your productive life on the day of judgment? Dear friends, if you have answered no to any of these questions, now is the time to evaluate your life. Now is the time to look deep inside your heart and to realize if you are serving, or if you are abiding on the vine, or if you are abiding in the words of Christ. If you are not, you will be a withered branch that will be cast out into the eternal hellfire. This is an evaluation that can either save our life or bring us into eternal damnation. So, what is life in God? Life in God is abiding in the commandments of Christ, or abiding on the vine and letting his full love being expressed through you. For none of the branches, as we've seen in the second slide, none of the branches had life in itself. For if you cut off any of those branches, they will die. And so, to bring life, to bring joy, to bring love to someone, you must conduct this love, joy, and peace from Christ, from the source of life, from the vine, and let it flow out through you. You must not perpetuate or the work of Christ in you. You must be willing to give up yourself, to mortify your flesh, to let go of your carnal desires and your passions and crucify them with Christ. Make them dead. And as we had a neat discussion during our sermon, I mean, downstairs in our discussion, he says, make a paradigm shift. Just go from one section, one aspect where you were just, you know, calling yourself a Christian and pleasing your own flesh, calling yourself a Christian and just going to where even non-Christians are ashamed to go, calling yourself a Christian and then just spending hours before television, before movies, and just letting the ruler of this earth brainwash you into doing what he wants you to do. Get away from that paradigm, that feel, that pattern that you had, and shift over to Christ. And let the eternal life, let the eternal joy just be empowered through you. Who are you? Amen. We're going to stand and pray.